of the gifts. But now look, watch him. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts, plural, gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? In other words, he went to hell, remember, preached to the souls in prison. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. This is how you're going to get this, because watch what he says afterwards. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till. That's how long. And it's up to you how long. That till is yours. You know, we're going to wait until, that word till is until I get ready to go, I'm not going to go. Right? So till we all, so you're not leaving one out, till we all come into the unity of the faith, same doctrine, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto, you're working towards something, all right? Unto the measure of the stature, not statue. Stature is height or growth development, all right? Of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth, now, henceforth. In other words, something happened, and it's not going to happen anymore. Henceforth. In other words, when we all come to the unity of faith, all have the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, that we henceforth be no more children. In other words, you won't be children if God gives you these gifts. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temper, patience. Okay? Faith, you are a baby. But virtue, knowledge, temper, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, you have these things working in your life. You're not a baby. You've come to a stature or a growth development. Because look, here's where I catch my wording on people in the message, and they go up through the foundational doctrinal points, and oh, they can even preach them and go on. But watch into the stature of a perfect man, because watch what he says. Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. There it is right there. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Right there is where they fall off. If they don't have the new birth, if they don't have the faith in the message that they're preaching or walking or doing, right there is where you're going to fall off. All right? Let me read that one more time. That we henceforth be no more children. Paul's compelling us. Milk is good, but strong meat's good too. All right? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, don't know whether this doctrine's right, I don't know whether this one lied, or I don't know whether this one's got the truth, or I don't know whether I need to come to church today or not, God's just not going to be there, I'll just sit right here, and you understand what I'm saying. Are the cares of life, remember? The sower of the seed? The seed's the children of the kingdom. That wasn't sinners that was sowed. That was children of the kingdom. And the Bible said the cares of life choked them. Didn't make them not a son. It choked their development. They didn't come to maturity. Because remember, God was pleased with those two little shoots that come out of the ground. Now that wasn't a bit of corn. There's no way you could harvest that corn. Right? But Luther come up out of that ground with two shoots. That God was just as pleased with that because that started something. Well, that's the same way with you and I. When you start in your new birth, you're just two little tender, young shoots. All right? Then you come up out of that and grow into maturity. But look how what happened. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. So it's not just one man. It's men. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. There's your growth to grow up into him in all things, which is the head of the church, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. All right? Everybody got the compacted part? The compacted part, if we'll read, we probably won't get to it today. But remember what we were preaching Wednesday about the, not the two Holy Ghosts, but the difference in getting the Holy Ghost at the bottom of the pyramid and the top of the pyramid. All right? Here's where it's compacted. Brother Branham says, the Holy Ghost seals these virtues in. What is compacted? You take compacted dirt, you can't dig it. Because why? It's fitly joined. It's pressed together. Everything's where it's supposed to be. And you can't move it. You know, water can't move it. Now, water can move loose soil. That's why you don't build your house on sand. Sand is very movable. All right? But now, talking about this right here, is not. But now look who he's talking to. He's talking to the Ephesians, who are a mature group of church, very strong church, very powerful church. Not even as many sitting in this room today. There's 20-something of you sitting here today, and they had 12. And they were a mighty powerful church. Why? They all had the Holy Ghost. They all had the gifts working in their life. They all had the power with character. All right? So that's what we're looking at. If 12 can have that much power and turn the world upside down, look what we as 20-something people sitting here should be able to do if we come to a full mature stature of God. All right? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Because see, you're in the body at faith. Right? The divine nature, you're in the body at faith. But he wants that thing to be sealed so together. Joints and everything. Marrow, everything to be working as a unit. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Not cutting it off, not cutting somebody off. No, everything working together in unity. According to the effectual working, see, in the measure of every part, maketh, I like that word maketh. You do these things, remember, and if what we read in 2 Peter? If you do these things, they make you. That you'll be established in the knowledge of God. Right? They'll make you. They'll literally transform you. That's what you want. You want something because you know what? Creatures of habit. Human beings, we have to be made to do something. Why do you think that bell had to go off? To make people go upstairs where they should have already went. But it's human. I mean, look outside. We got speed limits. We're all governed by somebody making you do something, whether you think you're a free country or not. You go try to get a permit to build a building outside of your house and it don't conform to the code of that area. You know what they're going to tell you? No, you can't do that. Or you got to build it a certain way. Well, they make you do that for a certain reason. Well, the Bible, I know it's all by grace and it's all by love, but love... Look how many times the Bible says make. It will make you. What it's doing, it's giving you a promise that if you'll do this, it will make you conform to this. All right? And you won't have as much of that to and fro and am I right and am I wrong and all that. Just do the simple things. If you do the simple things, God promises we'd never fall. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Don't think you're a heart when you're a pinky. That's why you got to find your place. We got all these people that come in the message and 20-something years old, and like Daddy said, they read one book and they want to be a preacher. If I was a minister or a pastor in that church, I would absolutely grill that child in a lot of things before I'd let that child ever do any of that. And I said, child. Because you see a lot of young kids out here just preaching, and oh, they got the fire, but they don't have a whole lot of wisdom, and they don't have a whole lot to say as far as that. But, just like this here, it says some apostles. So if you find out you're an apostle, stay in that group. Pastor, stay in that group. Evangelist, stay in that group. Because Brother Brown said, when we know who we are and what we're doing here, right? What? If I know I'm a pinky, can I... Listen, everybody wants to be the heart. Everybody wants to be the brain. Most everybody wants to be the mouth. But there is this little thing right here. And you know what? The other day, just for a carnal illustration, my two fingers right here were too fat to fit in a little hole to get something. I stuck my little pinky in there and pulled it right out. Well, that was important. If I didn't have that little pinky, Brother Ray, I'd have had to went and got a screwdriver. But God gave this to be used. You couldn't pinky swear without one of these. You understand what I'm saying, though? If you are like, take for instance Sister Gabby. She's here and she's got her children, part of them. Well, she got all three of them. 1, 2, 3. I know where the other one is. She's got four most of the time. Ryan, right? Yeah. You know, if her position is to be the mother of those three children, raise them in the admonition of God, and I love her to death because she's solid in what she believes, but you know what? She don't have to go out here and tell everybody. She don't have to come in every Sunday and tell everybody. No, she just... And you know what? If that's the position that God put her in and she feels safe and able to work in that position, she's just as much of a witness. She's just as much as a preacher. More than so if she stays where she is and if I'm in my wrong place. More so than her being in her place. God's more pleased with that than for me saying, well, I'm going to start evangelizing. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to quit teaching. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to go out and just tear the world apart. Yeah, you might go out there about 3 or 4 weeks, but then you won't be there no more. So find out your position. Have you ever asked God, say, God, what am I doing here? What am I doing in this church? Well, what am I doing in my community? Why did God move me over here? Why did I do this or that or the other? Have you ever asked him that? You need to ask him that sometime. You know it? And for those of you on the internet, there went both children that I was talking about. Yes. Some people,
we're all supposed to have
that's right. But now remember, it's like I told you, it's got to work like a unit, like five fingers. That's a five-fold ministry. It's got five fingers, all right? But now sometimes my thumb is more important than my pointing finger, right? So sometimes this is what I need. Sometimes this is what I need. I hope I never use that one much. The world likes to use that one. But this one and this one, you understand? Some. How many of you enjoy teaching? We all enjoy teaching ministry because that's what we've been grown under. But now what if you had an evangelist every single Sunday? That's where he gave some. You'd move, right? And that's, hey, look, nothing on the internet against, nothing against evangelists at all. They have their place. Absolutely, they have their place. Brother Brown said, evangelist comes in, stirs the people up, gives them a word, and leaves. Right? Then the pastor comes along and takes that word, maybe, and I'm talking about maybe just one word, that sparks in your heart. God puts it in Brother Dale's heart to expound 30 sermons on it. Right? And that's what we're doing with he gave some. He gave some. You couldn't stand apostles all the time. You couldn't stand prophets all the time, right? And it's not that you can't stand. It's just we all have individual needs and wants. We need an evangelist maybe once a month or once every 2 months. Come in, stir the gift up, and then leave. Do what? No, he's not a pastor. There's no way an evangelist, well, should be a pastor. Because it's a gift. It's a different gift. Look where the Bible says, look, he gave some apostles, right? And some prophets, separated. And some what? Evangelists. But I look down at the bottom. It didn't say some pastors and some teachers. It said some pastors and teachers. Puts the two together. Because if you'll read over here, somewhere else in the Bible, it only lists like four. But it puts the two together. Because a pastor can fulfill all five gifts at a certain time. But he don't need to do it all the time. Okay? Because if he sees a need in the church, he'll be an evangelist maybe one service. Somebody comes in with, you know, acting up or whatever. Because the pastor has to be the one that's there every day, every hour, every day. And he can teach. Because you got the pastors and teachers together. All right? Because, honestly, a prophet is not made to be every Sunday, get up in the same group of people. The people couldn't handle it. Because he'd have discernment, or he'd have this, or he would be something that would it'd scare you to death, I guess, sometimes. Absolutely. Because you got to understand, these people are not five preachers in one church. You can have five of these preachers in one church, but that evangelist can't evangelize in the same church. He's not an evangelist then. Evangelist means to go out. An apostle means to go overseas. A prophet means to come in, have a word for the people, call out the sin of the people individually or as a group, and then move on. But now a pastor and a teacher can stay there. See, that's why, we're getting off the subject, but let's just fill our time up with this, because this is what's going to do this, and you've got to understand what you need. You got to understand what you need. And Paul's telling us we need all five of them for the perfecting of the saints. So this is the perfecting of the saints. Statue of a perfect man. All right? But you take the gifts that God's give us. He give us a fivefold ministry, and he give us all these things. But you take a prophet would be one that would hear straight from God, come out, bring a message, then go somewhere else. You don't see too many of those. You see some that fulfills that office a little bit, but if you stay in that office, you got to be going. And it's like Dad's always said, with a fivefold ministry in the economy of God, if you take a fivefold ministry and do it the way it's supposed to be done, you can send evangelists out, and he ain't got to live in a shack and make $200 a week, right? What's happening is we got pastors that go out and preach a lot, and that takes the part of the evangelist, because the evangelist, listen, when that's why an evangelist like Brother Jewel, could you imagine? I mean, I preach maybe at four or five places a year, sometimes multiple places, but could you imagine? Brother Jewel Forney told me he preached at 88 different churches in one year. 88 different churches. Now, there's only 52 weeks in a year. If you just preached on Sunday, that's just 52. Every Wednesday's 52. You've got the same thing. The 88 different places. Now, he come here like two times a year, but 88 different places in one year. You know why? Sure, he was in demand, but you can't just go preach on Sunday and make a living. I mean, Jewel makes a living just off of what the people pay him. Okay? I don't know if Brother Tim gives him any or not, and that's none of my business. But some people will evangelize out of a church, and they'll give him a little bit of a salary to kind of help. But you take an evangelist that comes in here, and he's a pure evangelist, he lives off what you give him. And let me tell you something. I don't see how they make it. I mean, you go to church and preach, and they give you $100, and it costs you about $200 to get there. Figure that up. You need a bigger watermelon truck because you ain't making enough. And I know it's not all about money, But what's happening is pastors are evangelizing and taking that part out of the money of the evangelist. And also when the evangelist comes, they don't have enough to pay them because they don't keep up with their own tithes so that they can pay them to a minister. But that's neither here nor there. I believe we do it right here at this church, so I believe we can handle that. But I'm sure Joel said that he went to one place and they gave him wrote him a check for $80 and it bounced. The brother asked him about a month later if he'd come preach for him. He said, well, brother, you need to make up this bad check. Oh, I'll make it up. You come back preaching, I'll write you another one. Joel didn't go back. But you see what I'm talking about then. But how are you going to get perfected, though, when an evangelist can't evangelize? This is my point. When an evangelist can't evangelize, he's got to go get a job. And it ain't bad to get a job. But if you're evangelized, if you're an evangelist, you need to be out there in the field in the different places preaching. That's just what an evangelist is. All right? An apostle. One sent. Okay? You're sending them across the world or wherever. And I don't see why in the world that they don't have an apostle that would stay in a place for a while. Because an apostle is one sent over to a place, not just to evangelize. He's sent there to help the people grow up. But then you got the teacher. Well, here's the teacher. Nobody wants a teacher except your own home church. And not saying that because I'm a teacher, but I can see it in many places. You go to a place and preach, and the people just absolutely just crowd around you like you're a rock star. Jim's seen it many times, but the pastor don't ever ask you back. You know why? A little bit on the jealous side. Well, you know, what's he doing? But what's he doing, though? He's killing his people. That's the point I'm trying to say. He's killing his people. Starving them to death. Malnourished. Good Christians. Sitting in a church hearing nothing but evangelists and then, you know, this and then hear that. But you never hear a teacher. Because the teacher does more of showing you where you are with God. Because that's what the preaching and teaching that I hear is that it shows me where I'm at and what I'm lacking with God. So that's how we're to be perfected, is to, and I'm not throwing off on any pastor. Some pastors can't afford because they got little big groups, but I'd find a way to get my people to have an evangelist somehow, some way. And you know what? God said he'd make a way, because you can't get perfected without all five. All right, so God will make a way. That's where you got to rely on God and say, God, you're the one that's going to do it. Bring that guy in, and we'll give him to our people. But here we don't have that problem, but I see people starving to death. Well, how do you think they're going to make it the statue of a perfect man? How do you think the saints are going to be perfected if they don't have all five folds and not just all five in one person? Can't do that. You got to have a five-fold ministry. All right, just think about that till next Sunday, and then we're going to start with faith. Faith is the key.